Thank you. We're going to move on to 23.15.1, which is the Community Service Report. Good morning, Jenna.
Hi.
Leah, would you like to take over Jenna's place here today?
Sure.
Jenna's in Queensland on a family holiday. I mean, really, Jenna and I have both been head down, bum up in our own little pockets of things, so I'm not 100% across where she's up to with the Christmas festivities committee planning stuff, other than what's in the report. But something that Jenna and I are working on together is the youth strategy work, and Jenna went to a meeting on Monday last week with the new Live for Life group. So this is a three-year project that is for the first time emerging out of regional Victoria into the other parts of Australia, and it's here in Breaker Day, so we can be really proud of that. And it's a mental health peer support program aimed at young people 12 to 25. So Jenna and I are sort of tag-teaming in that space as representing of council. It's very early days. That was the first meeting of new partnership group to be involved in that project, so it's a little bit of a watch this space. But because council also has this goal to have our youth strategy work done by end of June next year, this is a really good... We've had to sit back a little bit on that and wait for this group of people to, you know, get their skates on and come together, because there was a lot happening in that space, but it now means we have good connection to people that are active in supporting young people, and we should be able to work on our strategy with them over the coming months.
Sounds really good. Mm. Can I have somebody please move that the report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to Leah on the report?
Did you want to hear anything? So also in November we actually have Scooter Jam happening for young people. We had to postpone that date. So that hopefully will be a good chance for us to launch into the communication with young people about this work, because obviously it's not just talking with people that support young people. So that's just one event on the calendar where we can kickstart that process. And it will probably also be one of the first times that the Live for Life group sort of promotes themselves more broadly in the community as well. So we're all looking forward to doing that together. And the big ticket item, though, that hadn't covered is the Festival of Wellbeing coming up next month. So I'm just back from 10 days leave and about to launch into a lot of promotion in that space now, and just supporting all of the contributors to get ready for the day. We've got lots of people coming back from previous years, and so they're all over it. They're almost ready to go and sending me through all their fabulous ideas. But we also have some that couldn't make it for whatever reason, and some new ones coming along. So... yeah, it's sort of nice to see the way it's shifting and moving through the community like that. But, yeah, so there's a lot of interest still, and it will be about the same size and dynamic, but just with some new faces.
Thanks. Sounds really, really good, Leah. Hey, we got any questions or any comments to Leah? Councillor Johnston?
This is just a comment. Thank you for the way you present the information to us. It's really uplifting for me, so thank you. Thanks for that.
Okay, if we've got nothing else, I'll take this to... Councillor Chappell,
sorry. I'd just like to make mention, I'm really looking forward to seeing the momentum happening with around the men's table, which is one of the new projects that are coming forward. I know they're having an official thing in November, but I do believe there's some information being at the Festival of Wellbeing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. I know the guys are really enthusiastic about it, because I work with one of the guys that are organising that at the moment. So just men getting around a table, having tea, discussing things, not just footy and stuff. So, it just looks to be a really good initiative, which has come from the Wellbeing. He did the course, the Wellbeing Project course.
Yeah, so, it's one of the projects.
One of the projects to come from that. So, it looks to be really good.
Yeah, and granted, it probably would have happened anyway, but it is just so lovely that we were able to support a man in that wellbeing training program, and it gave him the confidence to take that step. So, and that's what it's all about.
Now it's good.
Fantastic. Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Leah.
Back to my desk.
23.16.1 is the Development Services Report. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Mayor, councillors.
Good morning.
Jake, what would you like to talk us through on this?
Just a couple of big ticket items there that Deb's working on the substantial modifications with the Commission in relation to the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. So another big body of work upcoming for Deb in that space. Councillors might have seen that we've advertised the bylaw for public comment, or the draft bylaw. So that's out for public comment up until the 6th of October, which is a bit more than a 21-day statutory timeframe. And you also might have seen that we've now advertised the tender documentation for the Fingal Community Shed and the Samaries Indoor Centre. So, hopefully we've already got some interest this morning, I saw. So hopefully that will be before council for decision next month.
Thanks, Jay. Can I have somebody move the officer's report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to Jake on the report? Councillor Drummond.
Okay, this is me catching up through the Mayor, if I may. So with regard to the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, I have seen the changes they've asked us to implement, which are quite extensive, I think. So that's in process at the moment?
Yeah, that's right.
How long are we expecting that, Jake?
I'm not sure of the exact timeframes, but they are all the amendments they consider to be too substantial. So hence the reason to go back out for advertising. So there'll be a period of public consultation and people to comment and obviously make any representations in relation to their specific property or the amendments in general.
Right. Thank you. And can I ask also, in relationship to that, we were looking at the land use strategy. Are we moving ahead on that as well? It's not mentioned here, I know, but that's me just trying to catch up, sorry.
Through you, Mayor, there's a range of projects. Perhaps I could bring you up to speed maybe by email, because there's quite a body of work, and we've split it up into five actions.
Right.
And so, lots of work being done in that space, and, Deb's certainly leading the way. Yeah, no
I'd
problem.
I'd be really appreciative of that. I think that would be really good to bring that to speed, and maybe other councillors might find that useful.
So. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you all, Councillor Jake. Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Yeah, Barry.
Would it be fair to say, Jake, that things are going along about the same as last year with building approvals and we haven't suffered the downturn as much as some other areas?
Through you, Mayor. I guess there's a bit of a patch there. We thought things might be dropping off, but, certainly approvals are probably slightly down, but certainly what's coming in still quite active. So there's a fair bit of that coming through, which we might see some big numbers in the coming months. But certainly building activity out there, inspections are high. Approvals are probably slightly down, but activity is still generally high.
We have no further questions. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 23.16.2, the naming of the road Archie Court in the Annie Street subdivision. Jake?
Thank you, Mayor. So, just an official street name process for a decision from Council. So this is the final stage of, the Annie Street subdivision. This particular consideration is in relation to a cul-de-sac off Annabelle Drive. So that final plan of survey finalises that last stage of blocks on Annabelle Drive and then also finalises this new cul-de-sac, which is proposed to be named Archie Court. That name was proposed by the developer, and we've done our cross-checks with the nomenclature board, and they've advised that that name would be suitable. So looking for council's endorsement. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Jake. Could somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions or comments? Good on you, Archie.
Thank
you. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 23.16.3 is the dog exercise area opportunities for some areas. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, councillors.
Morning. So, Polly, would you like to talk us through this one? Seems like we've been dealing with this one for years.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And through you, yes, the legislation's there. We'll be doing it every 5 years. And it's a good thing. So the main things I think here are we have had some concern at St Mary's and a need for some off-lead exercise opportunities. A recommendation is that we'll deal with those through the dog policy review process along with all the others. And also just to acknowledge some of the options that we'll now look at with a going over and operationally what might work and might not work well in St Mary's to come back to council to include in that process at a later date.
Have you got anything else through the report, Polly, that you'd like to highlight? Or
Only if there's any questions regarding some of the areas we've identified as potentially supporting off-lead areas. I think we'll look at those in terms of some of the criteria in terms of safety and opportunity for dogs, and also council's purposes and capacity to supply facilities as well.
Appreciate that, Polly. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendations? Councillor Drummond, seconded Councillor Johnston. Councillor Drummond, you've got a question.
Yeah, just a question. I'm just curious, I don't know if I'm missing something. Could you tell me when I'm going to start doing that review, Polly?
Soon. Precisely soon, yes. Look, really, it's for you, Mr Mayor. It just depends on all the other things we've got on, but it's this year, and early stage would be to come back and talk to councillors, but also talk to Parks and Wildlife and others just to get an idea of where they see things perhaps needing to change, but obviously we'd start with the existing policy as a baseline. It's pretty well established now. Yeah.
It's always such a challenge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Other questions to Polly? Yeah, Councillor Fever.
It's not a question, just a statement. We seem to have spent a lot of time on this, and I think that if it doesn't impact on houses, we just need to pick a spot and get on with it.
Thanks for your comments, Councillor Fever. Okay, we'll take this to the vote. All in favour? All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 23.17.1 is the General Manager's Report on Governance. John, you've got a fair bit here you'd like to talk to.
Yep, thank you, Mr Mayor. The GM's report, yep. Okay. Just in relation to my report, just the meeting that we had with Minister Jench and Speaker Mark Shelton, that was quite a productive meeting, Mr Mayor, and certainly we had the opportunity to talk to the Minister about a range of projects that sat within his portfolio, and in particular Councillor Carter will be pleased to see that it's a good opportunity to talk to the Minister about the Bayfires Master Plan, and to make it very clear our disappointment regarding the state government's attitude on this and the fact that, yeah, we were trying to be proactive, etc., with this. So I think the Minister listened very carefully.
He didn't have a lot of choice,
Mr Mayor, and certainly when we're talking about the 230 visitor strategy and recommendations and that, it sort of didn't leave him a lot of places to go to argue against our suggestions as well. So one would hope that there's been some reflection going on by the Minister, and that future pushes might be considered slightly more closely by the Minister rather than potentially listen to recommendations from his advisers as well. So, but yes, very, very positive meeting. We talked about, as we said, a range of things there across his portfolios, including education, Parks and Wildlife, climate change, etc., plus local issues as well, and certainly housing was another one that popped up with the Minister. Obviously, St Mary's, we're keeping a close watch on what's happening with the GP and Health Centre in St Mary's, and maintaining contact there with that, on that situation as well, Mr Mayor. And the only other thing in closing was, yes, still nothing on the Regional Strategic Partnership and what that might be about. So no doubt we'll be enlightened at some stage in the future, Mr Mayor.
Somebody move the officer's report. Councillor Lefevre, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to the General Manager on the report? Councillor Drummond.
I'm just wondering, could you clarify for me, because there's a whole lot, I'm getting inundated with the St Mary's community, I'm not sure you're in regard to the health centre. Can you clarify for me, are Open Health only taking over the emergency department at the moment? Is that, there seems to be, a lot of people don't know if they're going to have to travel to a general practitioner, as there seems to be an impression that it's only the emergency department, and then some people think, no, we're going to provide
GPs as well. Are you able to shed any light on that?
Through Mr. Mayor, I cannot be totally definitive on it. Certainly the after-hours emergency care, inpatient care is, as I understand it, that's what Oakwood have been engaged to do. In relation to the GP practice, as I've noted in my report, private business of Dr. Latt, what he does with that business, whether he sells it to Oakwood, closes a business, sells to another provider, we don't have line of sight on that one there as well.
At the moment, my looking at it would be that we are going to be without a general practitioner in the very near future, unless Cyril...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think that will be unlikely that we'd be without a general practitioner, because even if Dr. Latt closed the practice, the facility is still there within the hospital, another GP could start straight away. So I think there's conversations which will go on, and as I understand it from the meeting up there, that certainly Dr. Latt had talked to Oka Health that day, that morning, around that, so we'll just wait and see on that.
He was unwell last
That's the consequences of being the practice set up that Dr. Latt has, that if he can't get a locum to come in, then it's the surrounding practices which have to try and fill the gap. So, yeah.
Councillor Wright.
I'm a bit confused here on the setup of the GP side of things, because I thought it had been said that the facility within the hospital was no longer going to be available for the GP services. I might have got that wrong, or I might have been misinformed by somebody. So if that is the case, that would mean there'd have to be another a facility, another surgery set up somewhere. So would that mean that would make it very difficult for Dr. Latt to actually sell the practice? But if Oka were to take over the practice, would they still be operating within that space in the hospital? I'm just confused by it.
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm confused, Councillor Wright. Where did you get that information that it's not available?
I honestly can't remember who said it, but I'd heard a couple of people say to me that he'd been told, or that the word was that he couldn't continue to run the private practice within the grounds of the hospital. So, and this has all been just stuff that's been thrown around during all of this.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, unfortunately within the community, as we've seen for several months, there's a lot of misinformation.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
And I think at the public meeting that was there, it was clear there was never any mention of that. So what's just been said by yourself is the first I've actually heard of that one. So I would expect...
That's
that
why I'm asking.
It's misinformation,
that misinformation out
rather than fact
on
that one.
That's the same. I'm asking for clarity. Yeah. There is so much information about
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, and being fairly blunt about some members of the community, we've seen lots of cases where they haven't had their listening ears on when people have been speaking, and they create rumours and innuendo and unnecessary angst within the community because they're not actually listening to what's been said, and they create a story which fits whatever. So as far as we can gather, like the government, and we've seen it's very committed to ensuring continuity of services. The minister was there. You talked about that at the meeting. It's about continuity of service. The complexity is that we've just got to navigate someone who's running a private business in there. But I would imagine that if Dr. Latt moved, then the facility's not going to go away.
And if I may, John, the head of Oka said that they was in negotiations with Cyril at that day of looking at purchasing or negotiating a deal with him for his practice. But it was made extremely clear it's a private practice. He can close it, he can sell it, he can walk away from it. And it's nothing to do with the government. The government is committed to the hospital, to the health centre. And Oka was looking at negotiating with Cyril as a takeover, and that was negotiations which were fluid on the day. Councillor Fever.
Yeah, I went to him last week and had a good chat with him and spoke to reception as well, taking appointments till the end of October, and then for the next couple of weeks to mid-November, it's scripts only. But I'm pretty sure someone else will have stepped in by then.
Councillor Johnston. Oh,
this is just a comment more than a question, I think.
You needed to see a tow truck.
Yes, yeah, I did, right, for my toe. But outside of that, these questions that we're asking, we're doing, I mean, for me anyway, around the health, I feel like we have this duty of care for our communities. However, this is sort of, these questions can't necessarily be answered by us. So I'm wondering, because I've had a lot of people come to me as well to talk to me around those issues, should we be, you know, assisting people to contact OCA directly? Should we be because we're making assumptions. We don't know the answers because we're not in the conversation. Besides what Mick, you said, is that the state government is going to make sure that the hospital stays open. I mean, that to me is the one thing I feel that I can say. The other stuff for me is we don't know, and I'm not. It's just we can't really answer the questions, can we? Do we? Is it something that we can? Well, for me, I'm just wondering if we need to suggest to people that they contact OCA or whatever, because I get they want to hear something from us, and I feel I have a duty of care. However, I'm not sure how we as a council answer it, or the general manager, or the mayor. That's what I'm trying to say here.
So,
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. The one of the commitments that I seem to recall being made by the state government at the meeting was about coming back to the community with more information as things progressed. They did say that. So we can ask them to do that, to provide an update to the community about what's happened. In relation to private negotiations around OCA and Cyril Latt, we're not going to get that, and I wouldn't even ask it because it is private business.
Yes.
But as long as the state government comes out with more communication around what's happening, then that's what it is. We can encourage that communication to happen. We provide updates in our newsletters, we'll put stuff on our website or social media when we've got it, but we don't physically have the resources to be able to deal with all these inquiries which are coming through in amongst everything else that we're doing. We make sure the information's out there and encourage communication, which is what we're doing.
Councillor Drummond.
And I think what John suggested is a really good approach, because there is so much tension and unrest in the community. And I think it's almost like where we were at with the St. Mary's Pass, when people didn't feel they were getting information, there was all this chitter-chatter and there was a lot of misinformation out there. When we started being able to provide more up-to-date information at regular intervals, then that dissipated that misinformation. And I think what you suggested, John, perhaps approaching the state government to come back and to talk again to the community will start to relate. I think it's just that people know that they're being listened to and their concerns, which, I mean, when it's health, it's quite an important, issue.
Through Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure that I think what they intended was some sort of written update rather than come back for another community meeting at this
whether
stage.
Whether you come back and written or face to face,
given the way some of that meeting went, it's your typical public meeting as well, so I'm not sure some of them would want to come back after what they received. But anyway, written communication updates, that sort of stuff can help with it.
Can we lead that by just getting you to write a letter to the Minister regarding an update to the St Mary's community?
Yeah, we'll just push them with an email for that and the department.
Councillor Johnson.
It's just an extension to St Mary's or to the communities that use that hospital, because I know nearly the whole of Falmouth use that hospital, and I know a bunch of people in Scamander use it, so it's broader than...
Yeah, they use it as Seashell as well.
Yeah, and all, obviously Fingal and...
Social media, no doubt, everyone will get it pretty quick.
Yeah, a few other things.
And if it's up on our website,
that's
can
all.
See it. And,
Break it, A community.
Yeah, provide an update, even if they put a media release out to the mainstream press, it'll get picked up.
It's just that we know it's being done, rather than thinking it's all being forgotten.
forgotten about or not done. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
No problems.
If everybody's happy to leave the general manager alone, we'll take
it
to the
vote. That's fine, Mr. Mayor. That's the way it works.
All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 23.17.2, the Breakaway Tourism Development Strategy. Anna.
Hello.
Good morning, Anna.
She's not limping.
Not limping.
Oh, good.
It's always nice to see Anna without a cast on. It's unusual, but it's always nice to see.
I know, I'm a bit worried. When's it going to happen again? Thank you. So the Breakaway Tourism Development Strategy, as part of the key action for this year, was a review of the development strategy, which is shown in the report. It's recommended that instead of developing a new strategy, which means more money for the council, that we consider tourism within our, make sure that it's considered within our economic development strategy, and that the relevant strategies that inform the tourism industry, such as the recreational trail strategy, the federal and Tasmanian tourism strategies, are considered within the economic development strategy as well, to ensure there's alignment between those strategies. Any questions?
Can I have somebody first move the opposite recommendation? Councillor Drummond, seconded Councillor Johnston. Councillor Drummond.
I'm just wondering, because you talk about the tourism development, I think it's a good idea to bring them together, because then you're looking at economic development or tourism through the prison model,
yeah,
development and vice versa. I'm just wondering where the DAP fits into this, because there's one in St Helens and there's,
yes,
one in the Valley. So I'm just wondering, would they also somehow be embraced within those?
I would imagine, so through Ms. Mayor, I would imagine that yes, they would be.
They're just not mentioned, and I think
no,
they've been worked on by the community, and
yes,
that's what the community wants. The Destination Action Plan outlines, I guess, what the community sees as the tourism.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, and it's important,
so,
community. It would be considered most likely within our stakeholder consultation, yeah, process as well. But yes, it's a point. Thank you, and I will note that down to ensure that it's considered
at the
time.
I think the Valley one is a little bit out of date. I know the St Helens one is,
mm-hmm,
sort of ongoing and
correct,
constantly worked on.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of stuff there that's probably really relevant to what you're doing here.
Yes.
And stops us recreating the wheel, as it was.
Yes.
Yes, they would like to be one of the key stakeholders, which would have engagement for this process as well. And obviously, as we drop down from strategy into the various actions, we would expect there to be some sort of local flavour there in terms of actual actions on the ground. So, but I agree they're an important part of the fabric, and as noted there in relation to destination management, the work that's going on there with them.
Have we got any other questions or comments? If not, I'm going to take that. Oh, hang on, we better get somebody moved.
Yep, we did.
Sorry, we'll take that for the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 23.17.4, the lease of a portion of 29 Talbot Street, Fingal, to set a care of old housing. Anna.
Thank you. Now, we have received legal advice to ensure that the proposed lease of 29 Talbot Street is correct and that we're adhering to all the legislation requirements. So we will require a unanimous, has to be carried unanimously, this recommendation.
Absolute majority.
Council majority, sorry. Thank
absolute
you.
Absolute majority.
There we go. That's perfect. I'm not very used to our workshop and council meetings.
We only need an absolute majority.
So I've considered within the report the portion that is proposed to be leased, indicative only, but that is generally, it doesn't have to be exact, as we've received advice for. And any questions on that one?
Firstly, can I get somebody move the recommendations? Councillor Chappell and seconded Councillor Drummond. Any questions to Anna on this one, please? Councillor Wright.
Okay, so if we obviously approve the lease side of things, are we still looking and considering the concerns of the community that were raised with that petition? Is there further discussion that has to happen prior to this all going ahead? Or
through you, Mr. Mayor, what this does is commence a process as well, so the fact that this gets it into that, this is a separate process beside the petition, beside the DA, anything like that. So this is to initiate that process. It means at the end of the day, if council receives objections, then there will be report prepared and council will consider those objections and then can make a decision.
Just on a normal standard DA, this has got to get the process going.
This is a separate process there. Yep. So in relation to the petition, obviously we dealt with that earlier with the concerns which are raised there, and we will continue to deal with those concerns which get raised and it may influence some elements of the project there as well. Once again, I would expect similar concerns will be raised here in any objections as well.
Any further comments or questions? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, pursuant to Regulation 15, one of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015,